tonight to listen to your ideas, your suggestions, and concerns about the city station area plan. Anyone who is seeking to address the council about a different topic are welcome to do so by contact the city council in Our Kirkland on the website, during the June 1st city council meeting in items for the audience, or by emailing the council at citycouncil@kirklandwa.gov. The station area plan is the city's approach to making the most of a once in a generation investment by Sound Transit to develop 85th and I-405 into a high capacity bus rapid transit station. We've been studying what land use changes the city should make in the area to guide future growth and development that is anticipated with the new station in ways that are the most beneficial to our community. The city's been collecting community input on the range of options for the council to consider since the beginning of this year. In June, the council will be deciding on the range of options to continue studying in the next project phase during this summer, which will look at the fiscal impacts and community benefits. In the fall, after that analysis, the community will have more opportunities to provide comments to the council as we decide on a preferred plan and issue a final supplemental environmental impact statement. The actual drafting of the final station area plan is scheduled to begin sometime in 2022 and will include more opportunities for community engagement. In a moment, we're going to give a brief overview of the evening's agenda. But first, I've asked Deputy Mayor Arnold to introduce three community principles that will help our conversation tonight.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Meetings like this are an opportunity for our community to come together despite our differences of opinions. To support this, we invite everyone here to agree to these three community principles. First, arrive as a community, leave as a community. No matter what differences we have, we are still members of the Kirkland community and share in the well-being of our neighbors. Please respect each other, even if you disagree. Next, speak your mind. We all have different views, and it is in the diversity of opinions that our strength as a community is demonstrated. Please share with us your thoughts, even if you think they might be unpopular. Finally, help us identify solutions. The station area plan explores many opportunities and tries to navigate potential challenges. We encourage your creativity in helping us envision the future of Kirkland, how we can get there successfully. Before I turn the floor back over to the mayor, I want to briefly mention something on a personal note. I have a conflict tonight with an event for my daughter who's a graduating senior at Juanita High School. I unfortunately will need to step out during tonight's meeting. This meeting is being recorded and I will listen to all your remarks. Thank you. Mayor, you're muted.
I was really hoping not to have that said tonight. Anyway, thank you, Deputy Mayor Arnold. I'd now like to turn our attention to the format for our time together tonight. Our agenda will be based on various topics related to the station area plan. In a moment, we're going to put up a poll in Zoom that will ask you to select which topic you would like to speak on. You can select different topics or the same topic. All the selections will be combined by the city manager and staff to allocate timing for tonight based on the topic section selections. We may not have time for all the topics that are selected. At the start of each topic, we're going to ask people interested in speaking to raise their hands in Zoom. Speakers will each have 2 minutes. There is a camera on the timer counting down the 2 minutes, which will turn yellow at 30 seconds. The order for the speakers will be based on a lottery. You can also defer your time to another person if you're part of a group. Throughout the evening, you can share on multiple topics if you'd like. However, we will prioritize those speakers who have not yet shared. We will go over more details for all of this when it's time to hear from our first speakers. After we hear from our community, each council member will make a statement at the end of the evening. Their comments will also be limited to 2 minutes apiece. Other ways to provide feedback can be found on the project website, kirklandwa.gov/stationareaplan. Finally, this meeting is being recorded and the video will be posted to the city's website. Feedback from tonight will help inform the council's next decision on the scope for the next phase of the station area plan, which will occur on June the 15th. I will now turn it over to our senior planner, Allison Zeich, who will provide a brief overview of the topics and will guide the selection process. Allison?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The station area plan touches on several topics that will help guide the future of this part of Kirkland. Instead of just listing the topics, we've provided some question prompts to help everyone's thinking and feedback on these areas. In a moment here, I'm going to walk you through those topics and prompting questions. As soon as my slideshow advances. All right, so for community character and neighborhoods, we have how will the station area plan enhance what makes Kirkland special and accommodate transitions to surrounding neighborhoods? For the topic of growth, land use, and zoning, what will building heights, setbacks, and lot coverage look like in the station area to incorporate growth for new residents and businesses? For housing, how should the station area manage housing options, including affordable housing, housing types, and locations? For transportation, how could the station area plan provide solutions to potential issues of traffic and other transit options? For multimodal transportation, how will the station area plan support walking and rolling? For environment and open space, what will parks and open spaces be like in the station area? For economic development and employment, what types of jobs, shops, services, and businesses will be encouraged in the station area? For public safety, how can the station area plan accommodate public safety response of police and fire? For schools, how can the station area plan provide solutions to schools in response to growth? And the last topic, other topics and overall planning process, what else should the city consider as it continues the planning process for the station area plan? We will now open the Zoom poll for you to select which topics you would like to speak on. We wanted to give you two selections for the topics, but Zoom only allowed us to provide you one selection per question. Because of this, we had to separate your two selections into different questions. There is no difference between the first and second question. They are identical and do not imply priority. Results of both will be combined to determine the total interest. Please make a selection for both questions. You can select separate topics or the same topic for both questions. Go ahead and take a few seconds to make your selections if you haven't already done so. We should be seeing the results come up on the screen soon, I believe.
We're still waiting for the votes to come in. There's a little bit of a delay in the votes coming in. So we currently have 14 votes of the 73 participants. So if anyone is still waiting to vote, please press one of the buttons.
Just to clarify, Kurt, the 19 of us who are panelists don't get to vote. So it's just the 55 attendees.
That is correct. All right, I think we have enough totals to allocate the time. We just need to do a quick calculation of how much time for each topic.
Great, here we go. So it looks like there's a lot of interest in speaking on community character and neighborhoods and growth, land use, and zoning. Thanks for making your selections. Our city manager and staff will now allocate time based on the feedback, and we'll post the timing of the agenda in the chat when they have it ready. As they do that, I'd like to turn it back over to Mayor Sweet.
Mayor, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Before I kick this in, I just want to confess that I have lost my Zoom visual. So I cannot see anything except the person who is talking, and I can also see the shared poll results. So I may need some support from folks in making it all the way through this. But thank you, Allison. The station area plan is a big deal, and I'm sometimes asked why the city is doing it. We have before us an amazing opportunity to reimagine an area of Kirkland that has historically prioritized automobiles. Sound Transit's redevelopment of this interchange into a high-capacity rapid transit station is coming. The station area plan is our way of ensuring that Sound Transit's investment is not simply putting a bus stop on a freeway, but is instead the catalyst for a thriving and vibrant example of what makes Kirkland such an amazing place to live, work, and play. City Manager, how's the timing working out?
Okay, our first topic is going to be community character and neighborhoods. And we're going to spend 15 minutes, so I have time for about 8 speakers on this topic.
Okay, and this is good, but you're going to have to lead me through this, City Manager, because I do not have chat.
Okay.
And I do not.
No problem. We can see it here. So
all I see is the podium now.
Okay. Excellent. This is where we get flexible. So.
Okay. So our first topic is.
Take everyone who would like to speak under this topic of community character neighborhoods, and we're about to do a randomized selection, and then I will call out the speakers.
Okay, so we want those interested in speaking on this topic now to raise your hand in Zoom. For those on computers or smartphones, you can click on the participants or more button and click raise hand. For those calling in, press *9 to raise your hand. In an effort to provide efficiency in communicating to the council, attendees that are part of a group can give their time to another member of their group instead of speaking. This would allow for a longer speaking duration by one group member who is representing others in that group. Only those group members who are placed in speaker slots during the lottery will be allowed to give their time to their group representative. Any groups that combine their time will be placed at the end of the speaker list, even if the individuals who gave up their time were ordered higher up on the list. A total of 3 group members may combine their time in this way. City Manager, are you getting hands raised for
topic number one? We can see we have 8 hands raised, and we're about to do the calculation. Go ahead and start with Margaret Bull, followed by Ken McKenzie.
Welcome, Margaret. Please go ahead. Margaret, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I would like to give my 2 minutes to someone from the Everest Neighborhood Association that's going to speak.
Okay, then that will take us to Ken McKenzie.
Okay, I'm working on getting my screen shared here.
Okay,
Trying to figure out how to keep the poll going. Okay. So I want to talk about the human cost associated with neighborhoods, and then that leads directly into schools and getting around. I did an analysis of the EIS, the draft EIS comments, and I don't have time to go into my whole table, but key points are that about 71% of the draft comments were against the station area plan as laid out. And the important topics that were raised in those were 72% of the people raised the concern about building height and 50% traffic congestion. And then when you look at alternatives 2 and 3, they were mentioned almost equal number of times. That is, alternative 2 is not viewed as a compromise position. And what I discovered was that when I looked at the plan is that it affects pretty much all of Kirkland. It's not just, gee, we can focus on North Rose Hill, and we'll talk about why. So if we look at the draft EIS growth projections for the three alternatives, no change, alternative 2 and alternative 3, we see that there's pretty substantial growth, even with no change. That is 6 to 8 stories along 85th. We look at alternative 2, the draft EIS says that we're going to add almost 20,000 residents and about 30,000 jobs. And alternative 3 is a pretty small bump up, which is why people didn't see alternative 2 as a compromise, I believe. This directly leads into a problem with schooling, where the draft EIS says that we're going to need almost an entire elementary school worth of people in order to support the growth that's projected. And I dug into the Lake Washington School District facilities plan, and they say that an average new elementary or target new elementary school campus is 10 acres. So we have to find 10 acres somewhere within that 1 mile square area. Let's look at transportation. First, the draft EIS does not lay out a 10-minute live-work neighborhood. There's highly paid tech office workers who are going to live elsewhere. Some of them might live in the area, but the bulk of them, we all know, are going to live elsewhere. And the low-income or affordable housing that's part of the plan is going to involve residents that are going to be working somewhere else. So that means there's going to be a ton of commuting and a lot of increased traffic. So let's look at a little picture of Kirkland. We've got Redmond and Kirkland connected by 85th. And we're going to put 22 to 27% more Kirkland in a 1 mile square area. And that is going to add a ton of congestion. It's basically going to put a roadblock on 85th. And that's going to cause more traffic out in the surrounding neighborhoods. So the impact on our souls of Kirkland is real. This was an excerpt from a draft EIS comment. Over 20 years we've lived here, families have put in a massive amount of time, energy, and money into their property. And they're not just interchangeable wooden boxes. Their homes our families have grown up in. And so when you look through the draft EIS comments, you find that people in general have chosen Kirkland. They want to live in Kirkland that they know. They've invested time, emotion, and real money into Kirkland. They want Kirkland to grow and change in a healthy and attractive way that they find comfortable. They feel threatened by the station area plan, and they don't want their city government to destroy their emotional and financial investments or their future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Next person to speak is Sharon. I don't see the last name.
Okay. So Sharon is next, followed by Bill Blanchard, and then Ethan S.
Okay. Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
Sharon, what's your last name?
My last name is Cox, C-O-X.
Thank you.
I agree with everything that Mr. McKenzie said, and I think he said it in a very good way. My biggest concern is that when Urban was developed in 2015, the city of Kirkland and the Planning Commission had a lot of hearings, and the majority of citizens did not want the property to be moved from commercial to residential, to the, and also did not want to exceed the existing five-story height restriction. The problem is that the developers' attorneys were at the meetings and they were allowed to speak. They didn't give any reasonable explanations why they needed to have more than five stories to the buildings. And I felt like the city council and the planning commission had already made up their minds that they were going to allow this to go through and didn't really pay any attention to what the citizens of Kirkland wanted. And my big fear is that the same thing is going to happen with the 85th Street plan. As you saw with the written responses, the majority of citizens in Kirkland want to leave it at phase one, no change. I know that Google wants to purchase Lee Johnson Chev. They're the ones who have told the Planning Commission and you, the City Council, that they need phase three to be passed in order to have the building meet their needs. And my biggest concern is, just like it was with Urban, that you're going to go along with Google rather than listen to the citizens of Kirkland who have voted you in and who pay taxes every year to this city. And so I just want some kind of, you know, guarantee that our city council is going to represent all of the citizens of Kirkland and not just Google. So thank you very much for your consideration. And I would really appreciate if you stayed with phase one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next person up is Bill Blanchard. Welcome, Bill.
Can you hear me now?
We sure can.
Okay. Hey, first of all, thank you for putting this together tonight. This is a really great opportunity for you to hear from the people that you serve, and also for the people out there to hear what's going on. So, as you know, I'm Bill Blanchard. I've been a resident of Kirkland for over 30 years and involved in civic activities here for the last 10. Since 2017, I've been co-chair of the Kirkland Alliance of Neighborhoods, CAN. As you know, CAN is a group of all Kirkland's neighborhoods that meets monthly to discuss issues that are relevant to the neighborhood. Each member of CAN is a representative of their respective neighborhood committees. Tonight, I'd like to remind the council that everyone, that Kirkland was built as a city of neighborhoods, each neighborhood having its own distinctive character and needs. I'm here to ask the council to respect the neighborhood plans and the processes that created the plans. There was a lot of work put in by all the neighborhoods to create the plans, and they are there, and the plans do accommodate growth. Also, we'd like you to respect Vision 2035. Not only do these decisions affect North and South Rose Hill neighborhoods, but the decisions you're going to make over the next year affect all of it, all the neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Now we'll bring up Ethan, and I don't see a last name.
And then we have Brian and Michael V.
Okay. Ethan, are you out there?
He's being promoted in.
I am.
Hi,
here.
Ethan.
I'd like to give my time to Liz on.
To Liz, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And so that brings on Brian. Welcome, Brian. What is your last name, please?
Can you hear me?
We can. What is your last name, please?
Granowitz, Granowitz.
Thank you.
I live in Kirkland, in the southwest corner of the proposed area near the post office. I was kind of shocked to see that the proposal is to change our residential community from a max height of 40 feet to propose an alternative 3 of 80 feet, doubling our zoning heights. With all of the people who live around me, nobody wants, none of the people who live here want an increase in zoning of any height. 40 feet we feel is adequate for our community. It has a nice scale for the people who live here. We're right off. The zoning goes to what used to be called the FileNet building, or the now Google's in it. When Urban was approved, and we were concerned there, a lot of us did not want Urban to get an increase in zoning height, because we were all concerned that the next step would be the adjoining properties, which we are over 6th Street, would then be the next target for development to get increased heights in buildings. And that's where we're finding it. Our community is fine at 40 feet. We have in the comprehensive plan called Kirkland, this had a scale, a human scale, doubling the zoning heights in our area, again, by around the post office, from 40 to 80 feet is exceedingly unwanted. So some of the other stuff in the alternatives, increased biking, increased walking, that's all great. But to double the size of the buildings in our area, we do not want that. And again, when Urban went in at double the over the concerns of a lot of the residents, we were fearful that our zoning was next because we had joined them. And I'd hope you'd not raise our zoning heights from the current level.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, the last two speakers for this category were names that were deferred to as Anna Aubrey and Liz Hunt.
Okay, so we lost Michael.
I apologize, I skipped Michael. So okay. Go, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Okay.
One ahead, sorry.
All right, thanks. So I just want to start off saying hi. I'm Michael Van Bemmel. I've been in the area for about a decade, and in Kirkland and Redmond, and I've lived in a house in North Rose Hill for 8 years now. And I'm here tonight because I've been looking at the environmental impact plan, and I want to say I prefer that third alternative, and I actually oppose the alternative one where we don't do anything. So in general, I want more housing in Kirkland, and I want to continue upzoning the whole city, not just the areas adjacent to the highways. I want to allow more housing near the bus rapid transit, not just jobs, because that maximizes our transit investment. Offices only use transit at rush hour, but housing uses it at all hours. And a real 15-minute city needs to work for more people than just traditional commuters. I'm glad to see mention of shared, unbundled, priced parking and parking maximums. Kirkland has more than enough storage for all of its cars, and a lot of it's subsidized right now. And if we had fewer lots tied to specific buildings, I think that would be clear. I oppose widening any of our roads unless we're adding dedicated bus lanes or protected bike lanes. Thanks to induced demand, we actually don't get much in terms of traffic improvements if we widen lanes for cars. I'm glad to see a mention of bike infrastructure in the plan. I want to make sure that we only really count physically protected bike lanes as bike infrastructure. If you have paint on the street or if you have like flexible plastic bollards, that doesn't really protect anybody, and it's not safe for all ages and abilities. And the last note I want to mention is that alternative 3 mentions a complete street on 120th Avenue Northeast, where we have, you know, driving lanes for the cars and bike lanes and sufficient sidewalk space for pedestrians. I am glad to see that. But I would want to go further. I think we need a connected network of these complete streets and not just one. So those are my comments. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Michael. Okay, now, Kurt, will Anna have Margaret's time? So she'll get right. 4 minutes?
We have 4 minutes, and then Liz Hunt will also get 4 minutes.
Excellent. Anna, are you out there? Welcome, Anna.
Can you hear me now?
We can. Thank you.
Wonderful. Don't know how to make you see me, but I will just charge ahead. I'm Anna Aubrey. I live in the Everest neighborhood, and I am the neighborhood's representative on the Kirkland Alliance of Neighborhoods. My concerns and the concerns I've been hearing from my neighbors, and they've been talking a lot about the 85th Street station area plan. Our concerns are really twofold. First of all, we question the choice of the 1/2 mile radius around the BRT for the station area plan. I couldn't find a reason online why 1/2 mile was chosen, but this wide area puts a great deal of strain on the neighborhoods involved. Also, we have concerns regarding the building heights and reduced setbacks on alternatives 2 and 3. This is particularly a problem with the buildings being adjacent to existing residences. Growth happens, we all know that. Our residents have worked with the city to create the Everest Neighborhood Plan, the city's comprehensive plan, and Vision 2035, all of which allow for growth. Our neighborhood already has a mix of ADUs, apartments, condos, and single family residents, and includes a wide range of low income, affordable housing to expensive housing options. And the diversity in our neighborhood has been increasing rapidly. Our neighborhood also includes a variety of businesses from Google to small family-owned businesses. If it's not broken, why are we fixing it? Let's reduce the size of the station area plan and reduce the building heights and increase the required setbacks in alternatives 2 and 3. Those alternatives really make no sense. They would be damaging to the character and the fabric of the Everest neighborhood and also to our city of Kirkland. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. And our final speaker is Liz Hunt. Welcome, Liz.
Okay, can you hear
welcome.
Me? Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I am trying to share my screen.
Should be able to.
And there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Liz Hunt. I live in the Market neighborhood of Kirkland. And thank you for your time to give comment tonight. A couple of quick housekeeping things for the future. It would have been really handy to have this information when we were preparing for this meeting, rather than getting it thrown at us at the beginning of the meeting. The 2-minute limit, those very detailed descriptions of all the topics, I tried to read it speed fast, but that was a lot to try and digest. And also Jay Arnold's rules of the road, that would have been also very helpful to have up front. So just some input for next time. So my comments are, as has been said, that growth will happen. So let's be smart. And I also don't want us to give away Kirkland for free to developers. Kirkland is a special, amazing, and fabulous city. We have many crown jewels that are our unique benefits or our unique features, and we really should nurture those. Kirkland is already stressed by growth, and it's not just us. I mean, there are lots of places that have been stressed by growth. The question is, how are we going to deal with that? So we have issues that are impacting our neighborhoods related to traffic, transit, housing, jobs, open space, parks, trees. There are quite a few parts of our city that are being stressed by growth already. I don't have time to talk about the new interchange, but it does bring benefits. So the impact on the neighborhoods of the station area plan, there are many. I think some of them are positive, and I think quite a few of them have a potential to be negative, but we would like them to not be. So how do we make that happen? I think the holistic planning is very valuable, rather than looking at each little block at a time to look at this area broadly. Unclear as to the best definition of the boundaries, but the holistic planning is valuable, but the devil is really in the details. Does this plan really benefit Kirkland? Has it been fully thought out? By the way, am I getting 2 minutes or four? Because I'm not.
You have four, Liz.
Okay, so I have a minute and a half left?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. One detail that needs to be addressed is we need more open space or our neighborhoods are going to get overwhelmed. Even this middle option is too dense. Don't just add buildings and people. We really need parks. And we need real parks, big open space, play fields, trees, place for pets, not just rooftop decks and dual purpose streets. We're already behind on the goals in the PROS plan, and those goals were actually reduced a few years ago. So let's not fall behind on that because parks are so important to Kirkland. We already have a lot of growth with the no change aspect of the station area plan. This Madison project is gonna add lots of new square footage. And the height was already increased in 2018 in this area. So current zoning has already been increased recently. One question we have is, will this plan raise our taxes? To support the current growth to date, we've had a sales tax increase and a property tax increase in the last few years. And we know that housing units are revenue losses for the city. So will this plan add more cost to the city? More details about the BRT station should be worked out. And let's not give away Kirkland for free. I think we can work with developers and get benefits that we need, but let's not go to 10 and 20 stories for free. Thank you very much.
Liz, great presentation. Thank you very much.
So.
Okay. So thank you all for sharing. To honor our time commitment, we're now going to move on to our next topic. If you wanted to speak on the last topic, please visit our project webpage for ways to give feedback. We are now going to turn our attention to topic two, which I assume is what will building heights, setbacks, and lot coverage look like in the station area to accommodate growth from new residents and businesses. Is that the right
issue? That is correct.
Issue? Excellently.
And we'll be allocating 14 minutes to this topic, so seven speakers.
Okay, and if we have... Do we now need to have a raise your hand period?
Yes. We'd like anyone wants to speak in growth, land use, and zoning to raise their hand, and then we'll do the random selection.
Okay. So.
Four people.
So now hands are probably up.
Looks like on this topic we have three, so we'll just go ahead and read them off. Dana Nunley, Liz Van Bemmel, and AJ Antrim.
Excellent. Start with Dana. There you are. Dana, please proceed.
Dana, you might be muted.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
Oh, we can now.
All right. Okay. Hi, I'm Dana, and I've been a North Rose Hill resident since 1983, and I've raised my two children here and run a small business here. I'd like to speak on building height. I don't see any middle ground in the alternatives proposed. And to just quickly approximate building height, so we can compare some things that we know, 150 feet equals approximately 10 stories, and 300 feet equals approximately 20 stories. And currently the tallest buildings that we have in Kirkland are at the Evergreen Hospital in Totem Lake, and that's approximately 8 stories. And then there seems to be a large gap. We go from no, an alternative one with no, nothing changing. And then all of a sudden we're zooming past our the highest building height that we currently have. And then with regard to other planned developments, there's density and traffic concerns that I'd like to bring up. So there's already two other projects that are planned and in the works on 85th Street. The Continental Divide project on 132nd and 85th has 135 residential units. And the Madison Project has, and that's in the Petco area, and that has 870 residential units planned, which total over 1,000 residential units that are already planned for this corridor. On top of that, Totem Village has over 650 residential units planned for phase two. I'm not clear, I couldn't find the total number of residential units for this area, but there are ones that extend beyond the village at Totem Lake. And what happens in North Rose Hill is that we can easily get sandwiched in between the village at Totem Lake and all of everything that's happening on 85th in that corridor. And this traffic is going to be even more immense than it already can be. And these are things that just adding one more left turn lane won't address. And then finally, regard to the character of Kirkland, do we want to be another Bellevue? I know this has come up several times, but I really don't think that's the character of Kirkland, and that's certainly not why I moved here. I was raised in Bellevue. And I doubt that anybody would want to lose the small character and charm in our city. And so I think that's about 2 minutes. And so basically the questions that I have to leave the group with is, what is the soul of Kirkland? And what do we want to be when we grow up? Because we're going undergoing an awful lot of growth right now.
Thank you very much, Dana.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm a little confused about the list here, but yeah. I think the next speaker is Liz.
Liz, then AJ Antrim, and then Margaret Bull.
Okay. Welcome, Liz. Oh, where'd she go? There you are, you are on mute.
Every time. I'm Liz Van Bemmel. I own a home in Kirkland. I prefer alternative three and I oppose alternative one. We are in a climate crisis and a housing crisis. We can't afford to wait or compromise. No action is unacceptable. We have to do better than rapid transit serving car lots, strip malls, a Costco, and a giant bill. Suburban sprawl just isn't sustainable. Alternative free not only has the lowest carbon emissions per capita, it is the most fiscally responsible. Dense neighborhoods and city services and infrastructure are much more efficiently than low-rise neighborhoods. And density buildings increase city revenue and overall city transport. Alternative free is a good plan, but I always want to encourage city planners and planning commissions and city council to think bigger. Brooklyn is not a small town, it is a city. City has changed. We have 25 million.
Sorry, Council, we paused the time because we're not picking up the audio. I'm not sure if the Council's hearing. So, Liz, we wanted to give you a little bit more time to restate some of that.
Liz, can you hear us? Right. Okay, Liz, we've lost the audio. And in fact, we haven't heard hardly anything that you've said. I wonder if you can submit your testimony. Can you hear me?
Mayor, can we go to the next speaker and then maybe give Liz a chance to get back on and is that, city manager, is there an opportunity for Liz to get back on and fix her audio?
That sounds like a good idea.
Yes.
So we won't drop you, Liz, I don't think, right?
Nope.
So let's just move on to
AJ.
AJ.
Followed by Margaret Bull.
Good evening. Can you all hear me? I think my audio working okay.
Okay, AJ, we're having some trouble with your audio.
Okay, I think, oh goodness.
I think you're okay now.
Okay, is it working? It's working now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. Good evening. I'm AJ. I've spoken to you about the station area before, and I'm here because I want to make sure you hear input from someone like me. My mother and I moved to the metro in hope of a second start, but also as an act of desperation when I was 16. There were few places with vacancies, so we ended up living in a place where mold rotted our furniture and our family keepsakes because there was no other option. We both worked swing shifts and were unable to provide input as part of the community. I firmly believe that there are many who want the zoning in option 3, but who also cannot attend these meetings due to work, family obligations, and other extenuating circumstances. I'm one of the lucky few who gets out of that situation. And I'm here to say that there simply isn't enough housing for people. As things are, our children and grandchildren will never be able to live here. Do we want to be another Bellevue? Well, our city is at risk of becoming San Francisco, a city filled with rich people and a small number of their servants lucky enough to live in rent-controlled housing, a city with a completely missing middle class. Instead, we can work to become like Paris, a city that, despite its own challenges, does a better job of providing affordable housing and walkability for everyone than Kirkland does today. If we allow for significantly more density and decreased setbacks, we will start down a path that will allow the generations to come to enjoy Kirkland and all it has to offer, just as we do now. Alternative 3 is the least that's necessary to maintain enough housing options for the non-wealthy to live here. And also, it is the best option for the environment to reduce vehicle miles traveled. Thank you.
Thank you very much, AJ. Liz, you want to try it again?
I think I got it.
You sound a lot more clear. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. So I'm Liz Van Bemmel. I own a home in North Rose Hill, and I prefer alternative 3 and oppose alternative 1. We are in the middle of a climate crisis and a housing crisis. We can't wait or compromise. No action is unacceptable. We have to do better than rapid transit serving car lots, strip malls, a Costco, and a Giant Hill. Suburban sprawl just isn't sustainable. Alternative number 3 not only has the lowest carbon emissions per capita, it is the most fiscally responsible. Dense neighborhoods use city services and infrastructure much more efficiently than low-rise neighborhoods, and dense new buildings increase city revenue and the overall city tax base. Alternative 3 is a good plan, but I also always want to encourage city planners, the Planning Commission, and City Council to think bigger. Kirkland is not a small town. It is a city. Cities change. We are inside the urban growth boundary. We must take more growth to preserve wilderness areas. We can't just tell people to go live somewhere else. Every person we say no to living here in the urban core of the state, which we are in the urban core of the state, and every building we block or delay or shrink with setbacks and stepbacks and mandatory modulation to protect a view or a significant tree or limit shadows or to preserve some idea of neighborhood character means more super commuters adding to traffic and emissions. It means clear cutting swaths of trees out in the exurbs, and it means expanding the population living in areas most at risk of wildfire. These are just a few of the reasons I prefer alternative 3 and oppose alternative 1. So thank you for your time. And I also want to add, since I've got a few seconds left, that surveys are a more equitable way to get the view of more of Kirkland than public comment like this, because very few people who are not privileged can take the time to be here.
Thank you very much for that, Liz.
Thank you.
And then our final speaker is Margaret Bull.
We do have time for two more in this category. We have Brian and Curtis B. have raised their hand for this category.
Excellent.
Can you hear me?
We can, Margaret. Welcome.
I would like to give my time to Dana if she didn't finish her presentation.
Oh, all right. How do you want to do? Do you want? Should we add Dana at the end then?
Yeah, let's do Brian and Curtis and then Dana.
Okay, so Brian's coming up. Welcome, Brian, again. Brian, you're on mute.
Thank you. You're going to get used to saying that a lot. I don't know how I came up again, but sure. I mentioned I live in the kind of around the post office. It's a somewhat mostly residential with some other types of buildings in there, like the small Google building by the post office. The residential folks, the people that I live around here that I've talked with, don't want our zoning changed from 40 to 80 feet. We are multi-family buildings largely. There's a number of condominium complexes. We feel we're doing our part to help with climate change and urban sprawl by not living in an acre lot in another area. I'm not sure why our part of Moss Bay was chosen to become to be changed. We're in PLA 5C and PLA 5D and right around there, and we're already a mixed use place, but our neighbors right across the street were not suggested to have their zoning changed to double the height to 40 feet to change it from multi-family to resident mixed use. And nobody that I've talked with has said that they were talked about, anybody from the city contacted them about this proposed change. The Moss Bay Community Association, I'm sorry, I only talked to them once, did said that they were not contacted about specifics of the change to this part of the neighborhood. The other ones, the 300 feet up by near Costco is, for me, I just, that's radically changing the concept of Kirkland. And I disagree with some of the people. I think people do have a right to live where they.
Brian, I'm going to have to cut you off.
I have 14 seconds. Is that going backwards now?
It is.
Sorry.
All right, stay tuned. Thank you. And who, do we have another speaker?
Curtis.
Okay. Welcome, Curtis. What is your last name, please?
Brown.
Welcome.
Oh, sorry, still says Curtis B. Hi, Curtis Brown. I'm representing Spruce Villas Association. We are on 118th Street. We're basically just, what direction is that? South of the Lee Johnson property. And we are one of the homes that are currently the most affected by this. But just real quick, I wanted to just kind of echo what Liz mentioned earlier, guys, that this would have been great to have ahead of time because everything we prepared was not in these questions formats and we could have been more effective. But I wanted to speak to this particular topic in terms of height setbacks, as a lot of the comments have highlighted the challenges of these three arbitrary options that have been presented as a false do nothing scenario, and then 150 and 300 feet, even though the previous discussions prior to this new one was that we were maxing out at 75. It's all the stuff underneath that gives us this false, what's 150, why 300 feet? Also that this is, all the comments that you've heard have been about housing. This is no longer about housing. All the extreme heights that we are objected to for the most part are Costco and Lee Johnson. Costco has said that they don't agree with this plan and they're not going to be housing. And we know that Lee Johnson is trying to get a pretty penny to Google, and Google is the one pushing for 220 feet. And that is simply extremely highly paid individuals that are going to do nothing but raise our housing. And so when we talk about the lot coverage and things that they're asking for, it's simply a gift that they are going to basically, you know, they're asking from their neighbors around the getting reduction of the setbacks. They're asking for 118th as their private driveway, which we have family homes here, kids on the street. It's a one-way street when there's parking. And as Councilmember Nixon previously mentioned, even though you're supporting, you know, people using their full property, you can't do so, or you don't want to allow something that is done at the detriment of their neighbors and continuing to allow the reduction of the setbacks and coverage for private businesses is not is only for the benefit of them at the cost of their neighbors in Kirkland. Thanks.
Thank you. Curtis, if you are willing, please do send us your full comments. We will study them.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it of our time for our second topic. You're muted, Mayor.
Sorry, didn't someone relinquish their time to Dana Nunley? Okay.
Do we have her? Hold on.
Because I think she actually did get to the end of her presentation, but right. I don't know what Margaret's intention was. Hi, Dana. Dana, you're still on mute.
Hello?
Hi. Hi. Margaret Bull gave her 2 minutes to you. Do you...
Oh, that's awfully nice. I think I got to the end.
I thought you did.
I kind of rushed it at the end. I think I got there.
Okay, so. That's great. Dana, what you might do is you might also send that to us. Yeah. Well, there you are.
Okay, happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. It's just like too many buttons to share your slides and do all this stuff. And I'm just kind of like, well, okay.
All right.
So anyway, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Descended.
Okay, City Manager, that takes us to the third category.
So our third topic was other topics and overall planning process. What else should the city consider? And we have 10 minutes allocated to this topic and five speakers.
Okay, so we already have the five speakers.
Please raise your hand. And we're going to try to focus on people who have not spoken. So if someone is raising their hand for a second time, we're going to cover other folks first.
Okay.
All right, so we have more speakers than we have allocated time. We're going to do our random selection.
You know, it's hard to do a meeting like this on Zoom.
So our first speaker will be Kristen, followed by...
Okay, Kristen should be coming on board.
Followed by Colleen Clement.
Kristen, are you with us? Welcome, Kristen. Can you share your last name with us, please?
Hi, my name is Kristen Dixon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Council, for the opportunity to speak tonight. And it's been really interesting and informative and heartening to hear from many of my neighbors and neighbors or citizens of other neighborhoods that are impacted by this as well. So thank you for that opportunity. I wanted to talk about transit interconnectivity and housing affordability. So just some questions and comments is the 85th Street Station provides for Sound Transit Station at 85th and 405. But how are Metro and the City of Kirkland addressing bus service from 85th Station, the 85th Street Station, to downtown Kirkland and Redmond to take advantage of that new station? Also, How's the city addressing interconnectivity to other parts of the city from this new asset? And finally, does the city of Kirkland truly feel that the 85th Street area will become transit-oriented development as a last stop, or will this just increase overall traffic and pressure on an already busy corridor? Also, a good portion of this zoning allows for office and commercial densification. While additional jobs are good, these jobs will put increased pressure on the surrounding communities, which are already facing an affordability crisis. Upzoning to densify commercial and office uses should not be allowed until the housing market catches up to the current demand. The loss of local service jobs and businesses to provide room for, let's say, 300 offices does not make Kirkland a more inclusive city. Condo towers will not create affordable living units. Upzoning the surrounding area to 75 feet, including the Kirkland Cemetery and Lake Washington High School, does not seem like a viable solution to allow for mid-rise residential densification. The affordability model needs to be looked at, and the impact to existing residents needs to be considered in how this plan will create a ripple effect on affordability of existing housing stock. We seem to be pursuing more development at the request of the development community, rather than focusing on the needs of the current residents of Kirkland. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker, thank you very much. The next speaker is Colleen.
Followed by Sarah R. and Mark B.
Okay, I see that now. Hi, Colleen, welcome.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity today. My name is Colleen Clement, and I'm a resident of actually the Finn Hill neighborhood. And I'm on the steering committee for People for Climate Action Kirkland. And I also was on the Environmental Technical Advisory Group for the drafting of Kirkland's first sustainability master plan. So I wanted to share with you that I understand the city has had a long history of leadership on environmental and climate issues, and that the adoption of that plan is a very recent and major accomplishment and proves the city's commitment to sustainability. So for the 85th Street Station project, I want to emphasize the city has an opportunity not to be missed in order to demonstrate its commitment to a clean and green energy city. This is a major project, as we know, and a significant one, and this is really an opportunity to shine. Not only do I vision this as a transit-oriented development, which addresses significant reductions in detrimental emissions for transportation, but the surrounding area should also reflect significant mitigation and emission reduction opportunities by applying the highest level of green building standards, such as all electric, net zero, and energy efficient structures. This project is an incredible opportunity that should not be missed. And the city can demonstrate its ongoing commitment to a clean, green future and lead the way as an example for other cities by making this project a model for our future. I thank you very much for your time and your consideration.
Thank you very much, Colleen.
Thanks.
Our next speaker is Sarah R. Sarah, can you share your last name, please?
Yes, it's Sarah Richards.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for providing another opportunity to provide feedback for the 85th Street Station Area Plan. I'm asking you tonight to keep environmental justice in your minds as you make decisions concerning this project. Impacts of climate pollution disproportionately impact marginalized groups, including low-income people and those experiencing homelessness. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions from development in this area should be a top priority, and yet any new development will increase emissions. So mitigation becomes the key to whatever level of growth the council chooses for this area. The most impactful way to mitigate the increased climate pollution is to require all new construction to be 100% electric. This can be done with zero cost to the city in this post-COVID time, and zero impact to existing residents. Environmental justice also means equity, and from an equity perspective, requiring all electric new construction means the occupants of the desperately needed new housing, as we've heard, will, one, lower the cost of heating and cooling to future residents and save them the need to convert from gas to electric in the near future, and two, provide for health equity by avoiding the negative health effects of gas in the home, which include higher asthma rates and exposure to toxins. So please keep environmental justice in your decision making for this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And
next, final two speakers are Mark Vossler and Don Winters, and then I'll do a process check.
Great, thank you. Welcome, Mark.
Hi. Thank you. I'm Mark Vossler. Thank you, Mayor Sweet, council members. I appreciate this opportunity to testify with you about this important project. I'm a 20-year Kirkland resident. I've practiced medicine in your community that whole time. I currently serve as the president of Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, and I come before you in that capacity and capacity as a long-term resident. I'm really happy about transit-oriented development. I think we need better access to public transportation. People aren't going to use it if they can't get to it. We need affordable housing. There are more people need to live in our area than have an affordable place to live. So I applaud this effort. We actually need this increased density. We got to figure out how to do it well. These new buildings need to be safe and healthy. All electric buildings are cheaper for the consumer and they're healthier. Buildings that burn gas for cooking and heating result in a 40% higher risk of asthma in the children that live in those buildings. Had I known that, when I first moved to the area, I would never have put a gas stove in my house. So when we build new construction, it does need to be all electric, not just at 85th Street, but when we look at the next development and the next development after that, we have to be thinking what's healthy and safe. So in the end, I'm asking you to look at the lowest carbon option, the lowest air pollution option, accessibility, equity, and getting people to that very needed transportation. I think you're going in the right direction. You're being very thoughtful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mark. And our final speaker on this topic
is Don Winters.
Is that his COVID card? Welcome, Don.
Hi. I guess you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Don Winters, and I live in the Moss Bay neighborhood. I've lived in our house here since 1979, so that's quite a while. I would like to echo what the last few speakers said, that increased density seems to be necessary to make the transit work. That's what all this is about, having a improved transit system and the density to make that work. And so I am in favor of alternative 3, which gives us the maximum density up there. And beyond making the transit work, it will reduce our carbon footprint. I recently saw an interesting statistic that per capita, by far the lowest carbon footprint per capita is Manhattan in New York, by far. And that is also the most dense place in the country and has the most transit. So you can see how these things work together. If we have increased density, we have increased transit, we'll have a reduced carbon footprint. It's just that simple. And as far as building heights go, a lot of people complain they don't want tall buildings. The tallest building in Kirkland is 8 stories. We have a neighboring city, Bellevue, which has 50 buildings taller than that, 50. And they have 3 buildings, 40 story, and 2 or 3 more on the drawing boards over 40 stories. So they are accepting the density that close-in cities like Bellevue and Kirkland need to have. To reduce our carbon footprint, to reduce suburban sprawl, so that instead of spreading out, clear out to the mountains with subdivision after subdivision, we have denser areas closer into the city.
Okay, so, Don, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye now. Do we have any other speakers on this topic, or are we done with this topic?
That's the last speaker for this topic. Those were the top 3 categories. The next 3 categories were all tied. So my process suggestion might be to see, is there anyone else who hasn't spoken yet who wants to speak on any topic? And if we can see how many hands are up, we can see how much time we can allocate to each person.
I think that makes sense. So let's just ask for additional speakers on any topic to raise their hands now.
As if they have not spoken once already. So I see 4 speakers who have not yet spoken. So if we allocate that time, we'll be going a little bit over the time you allocated, council. Is that okay with the council?
It is. We've eliminated the council's responses. There will be a time for that to happen, okay. Whether it's another meeting or at another time. But I think it's more important for us to have this be a listening session. So let's proceed with the 4 additional speakers.
So we'll just go ahead and take them in order then. So I have Ron Snell, followed by Peter Lemmy.
Welcome, Ron. You're muted.
Okay, I was actually surprised that I got called because I was had selected the topic, and a number of folks had spoken quite eloquently on the topic that I was going to talk about around climate. I think I'm going to turn my time over to somebody else.
Okay. Do you have anybody in mind?
No, I didn't know if there was another topic. If not, if there's nobody in mind, then I will take my time. So,
why don't you proceed?
Okay. Well, thanks very much for the opportunity to speak. My name's Ron Snell. I'm a resident of Kirkland and live in the Juanita neighborhood. Like Colleen, I'm a member of the steering committee for the People for Climate Action and had the opportunity to work on Kirkland's sustainability master plan. I want to point out that Kirkland has committed to some ambitious goals for reducing greenhouse gases by 50% by 2030. Now, it has a detailed roadmap to get there through the Sustainability Master Plan, but it's critical that the city act quickly and decisively to move to meet that goal. The 85th Street project, regardless of the alternative that gets selected, does provide an excellent place to start this important work. The project seems to be well suited to reduce carbon pollution from transportation, but 50% of Kirkland's greenhouse gas emissions come from buildings. To begin to address these emissions, all commercial and multifamily development for the project need to be at the highest energy efficient standards possible, and they need to be, as other speakers suggested, totally electric. One good news is that electric buildings are cheaper to build and operate than our buildings using gas. And this is from a recent study by Rocky Mountain Institute, which is an international think tank on energy, which advises state and local governments. What also has happened at the most recent legislative session of the state of Washington is they have passed a cap and invest legislation. This is going to dramatically change the cost structure of the differences between gas and electricity. Those who are current users of gas are going to find their gas costs to go up annually, and in some cases, potentially dramatically. So we do not want to expose tenants and renters to these increased costs in gas. which is why I would encourage you to make all development in the city of Kirkland 100% electric.
Thank you, Ron. I think I gave you back the time that we...
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
All right, thank you. Our next speaker is Peter. Peter, is it Lemmy?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Welcome.
I've really enjoyed the discussion so far, and I want to commend Mr. McKenzie at the beginning, and I second a lot of the comments that he had made. I moved to Kirkland in 1985 when there was a horse pasture at the corner and Armadillo Barbecue was downtown. And it's changed quite a bit since then. We've lived in the same house all those years in the Highlands District on 94th Street. So we're just outside kind of the new development proposals. And I just want to say that what we've observed in our neighborhood is when we moved here, we were a young couple. We both had a job at Boeing. We could afford this house, no issue. Today, the houses around us are over $1 million and they're out of reach for most people. And what I see, the new developments coming in, those are $2 million houses. And so Kirkland's development plan appears to be a city of two Kirklands, the Kirklands of the $2 million houses and the Kirklands of the high density affordable housing. And I think there's an alternative, which is to continue to densify the existing neighborhoods, to allow the single family homes to be duplexes, maybe up to fourplexes. I know this has been discussed before, but I think it should be revisited because it provides a much more sustainable development. The development dollars go to the homeowners and the people that live in the neighborhoods. It doesn't go to the big developers that come in and build up their big buildings and then walk away and leave us with that, you know, sprawl and development. So I really, really would like you to consider a version of option one that goes a little bit further, that tries to address some of these problems of making Kirkland out of reach for most people, not just in the area around this station, but the whole city. And I think also, I do agree, of course, that any new development should be the highest standards of efficiency. There's no reason anymore to not promote that. We have the facility and capability to do that. So thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And our next speaker is B. Is that B. Nahan?
Pinayon, followed by Robert Arachetta.
Great. Welcome, B.
Sorry, I didn't hear myself called on. But can you see, can you looks like you can't see me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what happened. It flashed and it was gone. And it's unfortunate because my backdrop that I use for my screen is the Wordle from the Kirkland 2035 Vision Project. So at some other meeting, you will see the Wordle. But I hope that as we go through this process, we think carefully about the Kirkland 2035 process and all of the input that went into that. Because I've said many times that as we do our planning, we should see everything through that aperture of the comments and the great work that we went through for that Kirkland 2035 process. My question to you, and I don't really have an answer for it, it's not necessarily a recommendation, is the fact that simultaneously we are doing the neighborhood plan updates for the Moss Bay neighborhood and the Everest neighborhood, two neighborhoods that are directly impacted by this proposal. That process is hopefully scheduled to conclude later this year. I'm on the working group. We're going to be doing a lot of work to get that worked with our neighborhood and our friends and neighbors and the rest of the city and the planning commission and the council and the staff. And we want to make sure that it all dovetails together, that what you're doing in this process works together with the neighborhood plan and vice versa. So whatever guidance that you have for us as a working group and for the staff, we would really value, and we also want to make sure that the neighborhood plan is respected. You know, whatever we come up with, that that your results from this process dovetail with what happens in the neighborhood plan for the Everest neighborhood and the Moss Bay neighborhood. I hope that's coherent. Thank you.
Thank you very much, B. And our next speaker, and we will have time probably for a couple more speakers, but our next speaker is Robert Arachetta.
Hello, everyone. Can you see me?
Sure can, Robert. Hi.
Oh, fantastic. How's it going, Mayor?
Good.
Mine's going to be very short. People have been speaking, and I think they've covered everything. My point is just I want to keep it as simple as possible. I think we all moved here and really enjoy the city of Kirkland because of its charm and the community. And my fear is that I know and I understand that growth is necessary, but I feel that as we make these changes and we have this growth, we're going to lose the very essence of why we love our community. So I don't know if it's possible, but I ask that we do everything we can to maintain that. Please, whatever it is, whether we consider charging developers more money to help us to put more money into infrastructure, or whether we add more community activities or more greenery or more parks, whatever it is we do, I just want us to really think about the reason why we moved here, reason why we love it here, and not lose that. That's my ask.
Thank you, Robert.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Now, is there anyone else who would like to address the council on any of these topics?
So that's everyone who has spoken.
Okay. Well.
So we have Roshan Parikh has raised his hand or her hand to speak. No. And everyone else has spoken at least once if you'd like to go through the other three.
Well, bring on Roshan. Welcome, Roshan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Thank you. Somehow I had to get reconnected when it started, so apologies for the glitch. Let me just say that a couple of things. You know, the proponents who I've heard talk a lot about the necessary densification for climate reasons. And what I noticed was in the EIS, the per capita pollution falls, but the total amount of pollution rises by a multiple. It was either three or five. I should have written a note about it. So, you know, it's like saying to people that, you know, you'll spread it over more people, but each person is going to have to take a lot more just from the impact of that. And the other big reason I hear is housing affordability. That's normally median income to median price, equated by some sort of mortgage rate or rent rate. And what I can say is that the incomes and demographics of our area, we're very fortunate in that, are high enough that the people that you might think would be helped the most by densification will not be. Because if you're looking at folks who are in, say, the lower quartile or even the lower median of income, it's unlikely that those units are going to be built without some big subsidy or some other sort of project from the city or state. So those are my responses to the proponents about climate change and affordability in Kirkland. I understand those are important things. I just don't think that putting this level option two or three is really the best way to go about it. The other thing I'm going to echo from what I've heard from a lot of other speakers who I do agree with is I don't think it's been thought through in terms of schools, parks, public safety, financing it, all the ancillary infrastructure that has to go with this in order to truly make it livable. We're going to be sacrificing the things that are really special about Kirkland. And that means our parks. And if you just look at what happened around Kirkland Urban and Peter Kirk Park, I think there's a great example of it's overcrowded and we don't have much more space. I don't know where we're going to put more space. It's going to mean a big decrease in the level of service for parks for sure. And that is one of the driving things, one of the key essential jewels of this place. And making the traffic, you know, I'm all for transit, but the way this thing is set up, if you look what's happening around that area, when this happens, like what Ken had in his proposal or in his presentation, it needs a lot more work before it's ready to be approved.
Roshan, I have to cut you off.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We have three speakers who would like to speak, but we don't have three speakers worth of time. So I think we're going to call the end of this meeting and just, you know, thank you all so much. It has been very helpful. Not sure what our next steps are going to be, although I know we will see you on June the 15th, and a lot of work is going to happen in between now and then and a lot of conversations. We are individually available to you. If you want to have conversations with us, please reach out. All of this really does help to inform the decisions that we're going to have to make. It is very important for us to guess right. And that's what we will try very, very hard to do, because we don't do this job because we don't do this for developers or for anybody else. We love this city just like you guys do. So thank you very much for tuning in tonight, and we will see you out there. And thank you to the staff for putting this together. This was an amazing feat. And I guess that's it. Say goodnight, council.